Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin, the podcast.
That's Keys, baby. Greatest moment, favorite moment. I can't speak for you as an NFL player, right? With Mr. Glazer, Mike Tirico, John Gruden. Hoisting Lombardi on a Sunday night.
It's not even close. The memories is not even close. Like, right, when you talk about your fondest memories as a professional athlete, it's winning a Super Bowl. There's two things I always tell people that you cannot take away from me.
They are?
My college degree and the Super Bowl. You can take everything else, but those two things you cannot take.
Key, when it was all said and done on the field, like, what was that feeling like? Like, what was it like when you were with your teammates hoisting that trophy?
You know, Jay, it was one of the moments, man. Like, damn, we did this. Like, I got a ring. Like, this was my goal when I entered the National Football League, is to go to the Super Bowl. That was my goal when I got traded from the Jets, is to make sure that I delivered and did what I was supposed to do, and they traded for me. That was my whole goal, is to give them something that they hadn't had, you know, and that was a receiver that could help them move the sticks, move the chains, do the things that you're capable of doing. And so when you look at it, it was like, oh, man, we hit pay dirt. That was just – it was the craziest thing ever. Like, it was so much fun. Also, in that game, so Whiteface, Dwight Smith, gets his pick. As soon as Smitty gets that pick, I go up in the stands to get my family out of the stands to bring them on the sideline with like a minute something or whatever it was left in the game, because that was always a dream. Mm-hmm. Watching everybody else do it growing up, holding their kids on the, I wanted to do it. I'm like, this is the moment. I don't give a damn what the security guards tell me, because, you know, they were like, oh, you can't. I mean, get your ass away from me, you know, and going up in the stand, come down, you come, they all with me. They were not going to stop me from getting my family on the field.
That's a legendary thing. That's amazing, right, Jay? I mean, you can't put a price on that, right?
I mean, well, I was going to say, Zubin, you know, like, we're all grown men. Like, you know, we have responsibilities. We have things that we have to do each and every day. Key, you and I both have families. It's not every day that you get a chance to feel like you're a kid again. And I know when I won a chip, I felt like I was a child. Right, it brought me back to those moments being on the basketball court where it's like, I didn't know who to hug. I didn't know what the hell I was doing. It didn't matter. There's nothing, you couldn't touch me. I was Teflon at that moment. You know what I mean?
Of course. They go to that jumper. Bam! And give me that. I see you, little guy, touching the backboard. Couldn't really get to the square, but that's okay.
Hey, it didn't matter, man. Didn't matter. The ball went in the hoop. That's all that counted.
No, that's all those sort of stuff, though, are just those fondest memories. Like, I got pictures with my babies holding my kids with the jerseys on. Mm-hmm. Like, we go back sometime in my house, and you can look at that picture, and you just be like, that's what's up.
Right, and then they may be too young to remember it, but then anytime you
No, they past, remember. My kids, they remember it like it was yesterday.
Good, that's great,
yeah.
Right?
Oh, my God, that's yeah.
Incredible.
Because they went to all my games, so – they're older now, but when they were young, they remember everything, especially the Super Bowl.
That's great stuff. Last thing I would mention, Key went into the crowd to grab his kids like everybody used to do pre-pandemic. Word coming out yesterday, this is just a quick mention, that The Weeknd, the Super Bowl halftime show brought to you by Pepsi, he's going to do most of his performance in the stands, because there's not going to be people in the stands. So normally you see it on a stage, 50-yard line. Hmm. Let's wait to see what happens on Sunday with The Weeknd. He says he's going to go into the stands to do the Super Bowl 55
Mr. Weeknd,
show.
Are you?
Mr. Weeknd.
Mr. Weeknd.
He will not be
Mr.
blinded
Weeknd
by
the
light. He'll be up in there, ready to go. This is Keyshawn, J. Will, Zubin, coming to you live from above the Heineken River Deck at Pier 17. We're asking you this morning whose legacy most impacted most with a Super Bowl win on Sunday. But speaking of legacy, Brad in L.A., not Brad in California. Well, I guess that's true. But Brad in L.A., proud to tell us he's from L.A., with a different twist on the legacy conversation.
But hold on, Brad, before you go, what part of L.A., though?
I'm in Compton right now.
Oh, so you in L.A., that's what's up. Where you live at? What city?
I live a little bit south, down towards Temecula area.
Oh, okay, man. You drove a long ways to get to work.
Every day, yeah.
That's what's up. Ride. That's what's up.
So you got a little Brady Belichick thing for us. Hit us up.
Okay, so you guys are talking about it with Brewski. So here's a little trivia question for you. Bill Belichick's been a head coach in the NFL for 26 years. Long time. 8 years. 8 years, that's a lot of seasons for a head coach without Tom Brady as his quarterback. So in those 8 years, how many years did he finish in first place or tied for first place?
Without him.
Twice.
Without Brady.
Twice.
Zero. Zero. Mm. Not even one time.
Not in Cleveland?
How many times did he make the playoffs? No.
He made
the playoffs one time.
So he was a wild card, and then they missed the playoffs with Matt Castle, but they didn't finish tied for first?
Nope.
Wow.
We need to confirm that. Let's confirm those.
No, he's right.
He's right.
Cleveland, he didn't win. They were a wild card. And then the Matt Castle year at 11-5, I think the Jets were 12-4, something like that.
No, the Dolphins were also 11-5. So they finished tied for first, technically, but they didn't make the playoffs.
Yes, I thought they finished tied for first, but didn't make the playoffs. So technically, he's right and he's wrong. Because they did finish first, they just didn't make the playoffs.
Correct. Both teams were 11-5 that year, with the Dolphins getting the edge. The Jets were 9-7, and Buffalo was 7-9.
Is Brad saying that Bill Belichick isn't anything without Tom Brady?
Exactly. That's what he's saying.
Well, I want to know, how many times has Tom Brady finished in first place in his division without Bill Belichick?
That's kind of hard, though, Evan, because Brady's first time ever without Bill is this year, right? I mean,
they finished second in their division.
This is the first. He did it one time. Belichick's been coaching longer than Brady's been playing. Yeah, Calm down.
And I understand.
You germ spreader.
There's the Washington caveat. But to Evan's point, they did finish second in the division. But they were the fifth overall seed in a seven-team field. I mean, you could look at it that way as well if you wanted to, considering I know Washington had to get the spot over them. All right, so guys, give me your thoughts on the poll question. And then in about 3 minutes from now, we'll have Troy Vincent join us, NFL Executive Vice President. Whose legacy would be impacted the most with a Super Bowl win on Sunday? Who do you say?
Bruce Arians. The other three guys that are talked about, Patrick Mahomes, Tom Brady, and Andy Reid, the head coach in Andy Reid's going into the Hall of Fame. The quarterback is certainly going into the Hall of Fame the day he retires. They'll put him in the next day. Patrick Mahomes is headed in that right direction. Bruce Arians is toward the end of his coaching tenure in his career. I mean, he doesn't have 15 more years to go.
Right.
Probably, he coached for another 5 years or whatever the case may be. But winning the Super Bowl ultimately will get him in that conversation. Is he a Hall of Fame coach based on his resume, longtime resume as an assistant coach and short-term coach in Indianapolis as an interim, as well as in Arizona, turning that franchise around and making the playoffs despite Arizona not being very good for a long time, and then what he's been able to do in Tampa in a short period of time.
Yeah, and I'm with you with that on Bruce Arians. Zubin, I'm going to go with Patrick Mahomes just because I think all these conversations leading into this week is the GOAT versus the baby GOAT. And what would it mean if the baby GOAT gets his second Super Bowl back-to-back at the age of 25, which then he's able to do it a year younger than what Tom Brady was able to do it. He's also, how we're infatuated with resumes being unblemished. He's then undefeated in Super Bowl appearances with 2-0. And then at the same time, what if Tom Brady never gets back here? What if Patrick Mahomes and his Kansas City Chiefs, is this team the one to close out the chapter on Tom Brady? I think that speaks into the legacy of a guy like Patrick Mahomes as he's starting to really blast into the stratosphere as being the best quarterback in the game.
He has so many years left, though. He's 15 years to play this game. His fifth year?
Yeah,
he was drafted in 2017.
But that's what I'm saying. Two Super Bowls in 5 years.
Yeah, but two Super Bowls in 5 years, it doesn't really do anything because he's 15 years to go.
What do you mean it doesn't do anything?
If he wins, it's not going to change his legacy. It's not because he's got so much time.
But Key, how many quarterbacks in the league have more than two Super Bowls? That changes his legacy drastically.
There's only two that's active currently right now.
That changes his legacy drastically.
I think he just got so much time left, though. That's the only reason why I'm not really putting a whole lot of emphasis on him. Where you think about it, Andy Reid's probably going to go in the Hall of Fame. Tom Brady's certainly done. Andy Reid's going into Hall of Fame. Tom Brady's certainly done. Bruce Arians is on that bubble, right? Because he's 68 years old.
Correct.
And how much longer is he actually going to coach? And how much longer is Tom Brady going to be paired with Bruce Arians? And so eventually he's going to lose Todd Bowles, maybe lose Byron Leftwich, and he's going to win a Super Bowl. And I'm certain that people will start that conversation about, is he a Hall of Fame coach if he wins?
Yeah, I would just say two things. One, to bolster Jay's point, which is that, yes, he's been in the league since 2017, but he started the final regular season game that year, which didn't mean anything against Denver. It was Alex Smith's team. Really, so to bolster Jay's point, it's actually been two Super Bowls in 3 years instead of two and four. The one other thing I would just say, though, and this is an obvious statement, the difference between two Super Bowls and 10 is so – I know he's got a long runway and it's 15 years – the difference between playing in two and playing in 10. And I know Patrick's got a long way to go. People are talking about the gap between 10 and 2 like it's not that big of a deal.
It's huge.
Gigantic. Yeah.
Man, a gap between playing in zero Super Bowls and one
yes.
is a huge gap.
Yes. So I think one, to Jay's point, definitely checking the Mahomes column. On the other one, though, right now, you got to put it in the Brady column. The Undefeated on ESPN Plus offers fans year-round premium content, highlighting the intersection of race, culture, and sports. There's some very thought-provoking, very, very good work on the Undefeated, undefeated.com. Check out new premium storytelling, your favorite ESPN films, and more exclusively, only on ESPN Plus. Sign up now at ESPNplus.com. Back to a trip down memory lane.
Dropping Gannon, looking Gannon, looking Gannon. Throws up the middle. And to the side. At the 30. Derek Brooks, 30. Brooks to the 29. 20.
He's gone.
Derek Brooks all the way. There it is. The dagger's in. We're going to win the Super Bowl.
You know, they won the Super Bowl over the Raiders, but the week before in the NFC Championship game, January 19th, where were you? If on January 19th, 2003, that's rhetorical. I'm not expecting anybody to come up with the answer, except for Key. He and his teammates were in Philly, where they were able to edge Troy Vincent and the Philadelphia Eagles 27-10. I say that gingerly because he's a very powerful guy.
No, Troy knows the deal. What's so funny about that game, you know, they had already started, and I don't know if Troy remembers this or not, but they had already started.
I remember it like yesterday.
No, but wait, not the game, not the game, but apparently, allegedly out there, the Philadelphia Eagles advanced team, meaning like trainers, and they had already started sending their equipment to San Diego prior to the game.
For the Super Bowl.
For the Super Bowl before we even played the game. They had already started sending stuff. They had to bring that shit. Oh, whoop. They had to dump me.
Dump them.
They had to turn around and bring that back. Lord.
You see, Troy? You see what happens?
Well, Troy, hey, man. You know how it go when it gets real, buddy. How you doing, man?
I'm doing good, Key and Jay and Zoo. I swear, I'm excited, man. I'm just in August. I really didn't know if we would be here, and I'm 48 hours away from Super Bowl 55 here in Tampa. And again, did not know, a lot of uncertainty, but we about to watch Patrick Mahomes and Tom Brady get it on.
What's the biggest reason the NFL has got this Super Bowl going, Troy, and got it to where we didn't have any major mishaps that would delay it or push it back?
Key, it was simple. It was the power of teamwork. I think it starts with the leader. It starts with leadership. Dee Maurice, Commissioner Goodell, Tom Mayer, Dr. Seals. We just worked. They worked together. The only way this was going to happen is put titles aside, put pride aside, and what is in best interest for the players and the coaches from a health and safety standpoint. And I truly believe that at the core, it was how do we get this season kicked off in a safe and responsible manner. There's some people, and I'm pleased if you don't mind me just acknowledging, because this, we're not here if not for the efforts of Dawn Aponte, Larry Verrazani, and Jeff Miller and Dr. Seals from our office. And Don Davis, daily, multiple calls a day with clubs. As you saw, you read, you know, ESPN reported, you have infections, you have spreads, and who's playing, who's not playing. And once we found that, we say that sweet recipe of identification, isolation, and containment of a possible spread. Okay, now, Troy, now you schedule a game.
Troy Vincent, NFL Executive Vice President of Football Operations, is joining us this morning on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin. Now that the Super Bowl is close to the end on Sunday, it'll be over with. What preparations or plans or even conversations have you and the rest of the league had with the 32 teams about the offseason, considering that we'll still be in a pandemic?
So I think what we heard yesterday from leadership, both from D and both from Commissioner, is that we have to look at, J.C. Treader reported on it a couple weeks back, of what did we learn last year that worked during the offseason? It was a virtual offseason. And there was, you know, no players, no coaches inside the facility. There was no preseason games, as we would say, a reimagined training camp. And then we go in and we finish 256 games in 17 weeks with all-time records in scoring and touchdowns and margin of victories and we had 70% of our games were less than one score away in the fourth quarter. Like, just we have to think about what worked last year in the offseason that got the men prepared to have a phenomenal season. And the data, statistics, and the play says so. So I think we're going back into this offseason, at least right now, as our country, we begin to set a path forward on. We're all in this together. We still have to be reasonable and responsible as we return, your new rookie class coming in. But I think there are some things we learned a year ago that we have to implement because it worked.
Troy, 22,000 fans will be allowed to attend the Super Bowl at Raymond James Stadium. We are still in a pandemic, and I know that 7,500 of those will be vaccinated, those people. But what was the process that you guys came up with in conjunction, you know, overall, to come up with that number to allow fans to that degree? It's probably one of the largest events we've had throughout the pandemic to occur.
Well, we saw throughout the season at different venues, we learned a ton of what worked and what didn't work, following the CDC guidelines, we followed the science, and we paid attention to what authority, when I say authority, our federal government, our local state and government, what they were asking us to do, and we mapped those with our protocols, what were put in place. To me, the 7,500, those frontline workers, like, those are the heroes. That's the real Super Bowl. Because without the workers, the nurses, the doctors, the caretakers, we're not here today. We're not here today. So, Jay, just follow. It was real simple. What is science? What is engineering? What are our healthcare leaders saying that we need to do to be responsible so that not only the players and the coaches are safe, but the fans that are attending? They want to come and enjoy a game and come to the game safe and leave safely. So all of the protocols are put in place by local and state guidelines.
Troy, when you look at the four minority coordinators in the Super Bowl alone, including the Bucs special teams coordinator Keith Armstrong, how can the NFL adjust the hiring practices to give the Super Bowl assistants a real fair shot at interviewing, if that is the true problem for a job?
So, Key, let me begin, if you can. It's as the hiring cycle concludes, and we still have a few more coordinator roles that are still open, we did not see, and I'm going to say we, because it takes all of us, we didn't see the results that we felt like we would see based off of the things that were put in place on the head coaching side. And again, I'm not taking anything away from all of the head coaches. We did not see the results on the head coaching, in particular around black coaches. But when we look at the totality of what took place, there's some promise there. It demonstrated the work that was done with club ownership, the Players Association, Chairman Rooney, the commissioner, Rod Graves, and Fritz Pollard. There was clear progress there. When you look at the totality of the work, I'm not going to discount, and I've said this throughout the week, because the eyeballs go back to the sideline, which I understand, the head coach. But Terry Fontenot's a GM today. Brad Holmes is a GM today. Martin Mayhew is the first returning black GM in the history of our game. I'm not going to, we can't discount that. Those are significant hires. Aaron Glenn, your former teammate, is a defensive coordinator. D'Amico Ryan, he's a defensive coordinator. We used to see the fall of the black head coach. He goes from a head coach to a position coach or out of the game, not coaching at all. Anthony Lynn, where we would love to see him be a head coach in this past cycle, he's a coordinator. Raheem Morris, Coach Morris, we would love to see him be a head coach, but he's a coordinator. That fall is so steep. But we've made a lot. We had a first-team president and Jason in Washington. So the totality of the work, I feel good. I'm optimistic. We're hopeful. We have some things to build on. And now what we do is, as we come to a closure here, we'll be able to sit back and we'll assess, we'll analyze, we'll listen. We'll listen to those. We need to listen to EB. Hey, what did you think about your interviews? And then we need to interview the seven clubs that interviewed it. What did you hear? We need to talk to Leslie Frazier. We need to talk to everyone, Patrick Graham, what did you learn? And now we have to go back and say, how does this align with our 7-point mobility plan that we put in place?
That's a great point. EB, of course, Eric Bieniemy, Patrick Graham, the underrated, maybe not well-known, but soon to be well-known defensive coordinator of the Giants. The last thing I would say, Troy, not much of a question, just a comment. You know, when the CBA passed by about 60 votes and people were saying the players weren't on the same page and the players and the owners and the league and the players haven't been on the same page for a lot of things over the years. Everybody just wants their own and you get it. Everybody's worked so hard to get there. But the fact that you could appreciate this as a former player now working for the league, that two entities that oftentimes were at odds came together, scrapped it, put it aside and said, for the good of football, let's get out there. Let's play an entire season. All 256 were played over 17 weeks and knock on wood, in 2 days, we're going to complete a season that nobody thought would ever get done. And that's because of the combination of the work done by both the NFL and its players. So I commend you for that. And it's great to catch up with you this morning.
Thank you. Thank you. Thanks for having me. Thanks for having me, gentlemen.
That is Troy Vincent. He is from Tampa, joining us from Tampa, the NFL's executive vice president. Last thing I would say, you know, it's great to talk with him again. I'm going to say this real quick. I would say for the 6 months that we've been on the air, longtime listener, for the 6 months we've been on the air, I think Troy Vincent probably had the most emotional, cathartic, like if I had to just pick 5 minutes out of every little thing that we have done, his interview with us in August after some of the racial strife in America, you could hear the passion he's talking about with football. I get it, it's football. But when he joined us that day in late August after the country was roiling, and let's be honest, it still is, but just the way it bubbled to the surface that day, and he let his proverbial guard down. Unbelievable. The NFL's got a good one in Troy Vincent. A reminder, tune into Mike Greenberg Show, Greeny, which immediately follows our show, Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin on ESPN Radio. Today, Greeny talks to Marcus Spears and Dan Orlovsky, Key's guy. Wall-to-wall Super Bowl 55 coverage from Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin right into Greeny weekday mornings on ESPN Radio and right into Super Bowl trivia round two. We had round one yesterday with a mixed bag of success. We'll see if we can do a little better today. And by the way, this Super Bowl trivia all surrounds Key's Super Bowl run. So Jay and I are off the hook if we don't get it right. Key didn't get it right, but it's your own Super Bowl, man. And speaking of Jay, we'll have it.
I don't even know the final score.
I think it was like 48-21, something like that. Whatever it was.
I don't even know. If they want to move, we might be able to bring him to L.A., though, for the Lakers.
Him, LeBron, AD. That's your whole team in cap space.
Yeah, but that's all you need in a bunch of me's and you's.
Hey, look, me's is different than you's. You better stop putting us in the same category.
This is Super Week 2021 with Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin on ESPN Radio.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only, exclusions apply.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Lakers big win last night, down double digits at the half to the Nuggets, and then they roll and win by 21 points. Nice little 33-point swing. LeBron not so nice when it comes to what he thinks about the All-Star game. The NBA and the Players Association have agreed to hold it in Atlanta on March 7th. The NBA does have a quote-unquote break from March 5th to 10th, but LeBron is like, hey man, I clinched the title, and 71 days later, you got to start in the next season, and this game doesn't mean anything. What are we doing? Why are we doing it? But even as powerful as LeBron is, nope, game's going on. Even he couldn't stop it. March 7th, but he's not happy. De'Aaron Fox called the idea stupid. Everybody running around with masks on during the game. Black history always. Today on Black History Month, we honor the all-black officiating crew that worked Week 11 Monday Night Football game between the Rams and the Bucks. Might remember this was a big moment on ESPN. There's been some talk about diversifying the ranks in the coaching ranks and the executive ranks. Nobody really talks about the officiating crew, but obviously you can't have a game without the refs. And those men were honored on late 2020. And we should mention that in 1965, the NFL hired Burl Toler, the first black official in any major sports league, the trailblazer Burl Toler. And we should mention SportsCenter brought to you by Mako. It was 2020 full of dings, dents, and scratches. Your tax refund in Mako can help refresh your ride with your refund at Mako to undo a little bit of last year. Head to Mako.com to get a free online estimate today. Uh-oh, better get Mako.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin.
In terms of Hall of Famers,
let's do it. He's going five. That's right. Yeah. Reel them off for everybody.
You got Derrick Brooks.
Yep.
You have Warren Sapp.
Boom. There's your Bucks.
You got Tim Brown.
Boom.
Jerry Rice.
Boom.
And who am I? Oh, and Charles Woodson. Who else?
Rod Woodson, right?
Rod Woodson. Boom. Rod Woodson didn't play in my Super Bowl.
Key?
Wait a minute, man. What was Rod Woodson playing? Man, I got to look now. You got me confused.
Key, we confirmed it, double-checked it, triple-checked. By the way, Charles Woodson getting the call from the Hall tomorrow, so we gave you a half point because if you're listening to this on the podcast on Sunday when Charles gets the call, Key will be right.
Yeah, I don't remember it. I remember what Rod playing in Pittsburgh, obviously, Baltimore. I didn't remember him with the Raiders at all.
It's okay. You had a foggy memory because you won a championship. That's allowed.
Well,
Keith.
No, I still, because I remember who was on their team for some reason. I don't know, too many Woodsons.
And before Evan Wilner steps in, our producer, to take us through round two. And by the way,
he reminded me I wasn't one of those Hall of Famers, by the way.
Yes, I don't want to be the guy to mention that there's 29 wide receivers in the Hall of Fame, but Key would only trade his career for the GOAT, Jerry Rice. I want to mention today, trivia time. This isn't really trivia because I'm about to give you the answer anyway. Today's the anniversary of 28-3. If you're a Tom Brady fan, you're a Pats fan, you're a jilted Pats fan, today, the anniversary of the greatest comeback in Super Bowl history when the Falcons led the Pats 28-3 and New England came back to win. All right, Evan, go ahead.
Well, Connor's a Falcons fan, so if anybody knows how to run the board, please stop by ESPN.
And that's why he's leaving the show. I insulted him about that. All right, what you got?
How long was the game? How long was the game? This does include the halftime show.
Oh, wow. Okay, so you want like an hour, minute type thing?
Yes.
Okay, Key. You were there for the whole thing, so.
4 hours and 30 minutes.
3 hours and 35 minutes.
Damn it. 3:15.
3 hours. 50 minutes, 5-0.
I was close.
So I was close.
So it's like basically an episode of KJZ. It was a 4 hours. Okay, it's a 3 hour and 50 minutes.
Seemed like it was longer, but who knows?
Okay. We all know Key had 6 receptions for 69 yards. How many targets?
Key only had 6 receptions for 69 yards?
Only?
I'm joking. You're getting so mad.
I'm not mad. I just said only. That's work.
Once you figure out how many targets, you'll find out how many drops.
Oh, wow.
Jeez.
A little math.
9 targets. More?
12 targets.
I'll say 7?
11. 11 targets.
See, that's wrong. Yeah. I have 11 targets. They threw it in my direction.
It was in the vicinity, so
I don't do next gen stats. Sorry.
5 drops.
Numbers never lie.
What was Key's longest reception?
Okay, come on, Key, you got to get this one. We're not going to get this.
Longest reception? 12 yards.
9 yards.
10?
18.
Wow.
18. Okay, Key.
Jay and I weren't very confident in Key's ability in that game, so we just kept going down.
I didn't know.
We kept going the other
way. Key didn't seem too confident. I didn't know.
I said 12. I just knew every catch was like a first down. I don't sit there and memorize everything I did in the Super Bowl, or everything I do in the Super Bowl.
As evidenced by the last 2 days, that is absolutely the case. I never, yeah.
Right, 100%.
This is maybe my favorite question. How many assistant coaches on these two staffs ended up as full-time NFL head coaches?
Oh, wow.
No, I don't know that. Wow. This arbitrary number.
3? 4? No, wait. Oh, no, I'm not done. I'm not done. 3, 4, 5 total.
Who are some of the ones you're thinking? Kind of let's do it the way we came in.
Mike Tomlin. Rob Marinelli, John Gruden.
No, John Gruden was a head coach.
Oh, so but he ended up being another head coach, so I counted him in.
No, assistant coaches in the game that became head coach.
Okay, so I take it's 2 then. It's 2.
Who's he missing?
Who am I missing?
I'll go 3.
The answer, Zubin, you have a guess?
Go higher. Yeah, I feel like I need to go lower at this point, right?
No, I can tell you off the top of my head. Tomlin and Rob Marinelli is 2.
So that's minimum 2.
I said that's 3. Key said 4, and then he said 5.
6.
No!
Thank you, Jay. Jay led me in the direction.
I got you, Zubin.
2 from the Raiders, Mark Trestman, Jim Harbaugh.
Oh,
wow.
4 from the Bucks, Jay Gruden, Mike Tomlin, Raheem Morris, and Rod Marinelli.
Wow.
How old is Raheem Morris?
Yeah, Raheem, he was young.
He was with y'all?
Yeah, he was our I should have just not rushed through it. He was our quality control guy at the time, and then he replaced Gruden. Remember, he became the defensive back coach, did eventually a defensive coordinator for like a day, and then they fired Gruden, and then he became the head coach.
Harbaugh, how about that one?
That's I didn't realize
pull.
Harbaugh was coaching with the Raiders.
Yeah,
see?
Wow.
I that just goes. What was he, a quality control guy though, Evan?
Yeah, offensive assistant.
Yeah. Also,
shout out Raheem Morris, Hofstra.
Let me give you a quick Harbaugh story. Just, and I think we all know, and I'm going to say this affectionately, I think we all know how crazy Jim Harbaugh can be. So when he was making his NFL bona fides, obviously, you know, captain comeback, the quarterback, all that stuff, Bears, Colts. There was a story when he was with the Raiders about how maniacal he was working. I think you'll appreciate this as he continued to climb the ranks. They said, I think I saw a story one day where he had drove home and parked in his driveway. And he was so tired from working. I know how much time you guys put into this. He got in the driveway, was sitting in his car, and he fell asleep in the car with the car. He's like fell asleep. He woke up several hours later in the car, asleep, and couldn't remember if he had just driven home from work or he was in the car, needed to wake up and drive to work. Think about that for a second. I mean, that's the life of an NFL assistant.
Yeah, when you put in so much work, though, Zubin, that's what happens. And when you're really tired, like even as a player, and this happened to you, I'm sure, Jay, because it did happen to me before. You in the hotel room early on a Saturday, and all of a sudden you go to sleep and it's quiet, and you're so tired from just the preparation of the week of practice and everything. You get to the hotel room, you sleep. All of a sudden, you wake up, and it's quiet, and you forget that you had a meeting. You jump up and be like, oh, my God, I'm missing a game. I've done that before. Snatched my stuff, ran out in the hallway. Security guard looking at me like, what the hell wrong with you? I'm like, I got to get to the game. He's like, man, it's 6 o'clock. It's 6 o'clock in the afternoon on Saturday. Your game's tomorrow.
One thing we found, he does love talking to the security guards. Apparently. Yeah, we do know that. We got one more here. What do you have, Ev?
Bucks are one of 4 franchises that are undefeated in the Super Bowl. They're 1-0. Name the other three franchises that are undefeated in the Super Bowl.
Got to go Jets because they're 1-0, right?
Yep.
Jets is 1-0.
Jets 1-0. Baltimore, or not Baltimore, yeah, Baltimore Ravens.
2-0.
And who else?
I don't know. Fuck.
Did the Dolphins ever lose a Super Bowl? Yes, Marino, of course, right? They lost one, right? Yeah. They lost one with Marino. Yeah. Boy, this is a real...
You said,
where's Pittsburgh?
No, they lost. Remember, Mike Tomlin. Coach Tomlin lost.
That's right.
Denver's lost many times. He hit the button, though, EJ.
Yeah, I know. Everybody else got the guesses. I get the button hit on me.
Are the Chiefs?
No. Saints. The Saints.
The New Orleans Saints. They 1-0.
1-0.
That's kind of the trick question. You have to find the lower teams that have been there once. You can't go Buffalo or Minnesota in this particular example.
I just started throwing out names. I don't know.
Teams that have yet to be in the Super Bowl. Cleveland Browns. If that was the question.
Buffalo Bills, though.
Although they're coming. They're coming. All right, so we want to know whose legacy would be impacted the most with the Super Bowl win on Sunday. We'll take your calls throughout the course of a morning. Next, we'll take it or shake it, including the question of the day for many in New England.
I can't believe Jay tried to question my ability in the Super Bowl.
What?
Never mind.
So, Jay, we got to defend ourselves because if he had 11 yards a catch, that would be a first down. You said you were moving the sticks every time you caught it. So Jay said 11 yards, that's a first down. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's being positive here.
Negative, Nate.
So on the way, it's take it or shake it, including what Teddy Bruschi said yesterday. Do the fellas really believe this? That Matt Stafford just ain't tough enough to play for Bill Belichick. The guys weigh in next.
Hey, it's Greeny, and we're getting ready for the last Football Friday of this season. And in it, I will tell you exactly who is going to win Super Bowl 55 and why and who's going to be the MVP. All that and more, don't miss it. It's Greeny, starting 10 a.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus.
This is Super Week 2021 with Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin on ESPN Radio.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Electric E-Bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin, the podcast.
Instead of shaking it at the top of the hour, we'll be taking it, and the topic will be how hard it is to repeat. I'm sitting next to a couple of guys that won championships, and it's not as easy as fans like me think, and Key and Jay will take us inside the mind of just how difficult it can be.
Yeah,
take
y'all
it or
fans,
it.
Y'all think Lombardi trophies, you could just order them off Amazon. Hey, give me one of those.
As they say, fans short for fanatic. That's why we think the way we do. Here we go. Take it or shake it. If he doesn't beat Brady on Sunday, Patrick Mahomes can never become the GOAT. That's kind of the Tony Romo thought. Take it or shake it.
Shake it.
Shake it.
Yeah, you got to shake that. The dude's going to play for another 15 years. He may never catch Tom Brady in terms of 7 world championships and 10 appearances in the Super Bowl and all those sort of things. He's going to catch him in numbers if he stays healthy. It's all about how you perceive what the GOAT is. There's so many great players at that position. You know, there's the Elways, the Montanas, the Bradys. You know, there's Peyton Manning. Just enjoy and embrace what you're seeing in front of you.
I agree with the latter part of that, but I think if Tom Brady is able to get this win, and even if he were to get there again, it makes it tough, especially considering Tom Brady at this age of his career, 43.
I think that would make it tough for Patrick Mahomes to take over that mantle.
So we've been talking this week about Kelce and Gronk, the matchup, the top tight ends on both sides. But actually, let's just distill this to the tight ends on one team. Cameron Brate will have more catches than Rob Gronkowski, his teammate Sunday from Tom Brady. Take it or shake it.
Shake it. Yeah, this is a Super Bowl, man. Terrific Tom knows where his bread is buttered at in crunch time. He understands Gronkowski. Gronkowski understands him. They've been on the same page for a long time in their careers. This is a Super Bowl. Who did he go to the last time the New England Patriots won the Super Bowl down the stretch and in the end? Biggest catch of the game. Gronk. He went to Gronk.
Great call.
Yeah, if this is Travis Kelce, I would feel differently about it, but I'm with Key on Gronk.
Speaking of Travis Kelce, he'll have 100 yards receiving. Take it or shake it.
Take that.
Shake it. I don't think he'll have 100 yards because weather will factor into the equation. They'll run the ball a little bit, but he's got to get the football to other players. And I don't think statistically this is going to be a 400-yard type game for the Kansas City Chiefs in the air. I mean, it's just – he'll be productive, but I don't think he gets 100. I do think he'll score multiple times.
I think it's going to be like a movie watching Patrick Mahomes throw those spirals in the rain. I think it's going to be incredible. So I'm going to give it to Travis Kelce. I think he is going to be one of the best we've ever seen to do it, if not the best.
Yeah, he's trending that way. Keyshawn, J. Will Zubin, presented by Progressive Insurance. All of our guests on the Goodyear Hotline, including Washington football head coach Ron Rivera, who will join us in our final
Big
hour
Ron.
Yeah, of the program. Got an interesting quarterback question for him. He's also up for NFL Coach of the Year, and we'll find out if he'll win that tomorrow night at the NFL Honors. Okay, Matt Stafford, this is the big one. According to Teddy Bruschi, isn't tough enough to play in his old stomping grounds. New England, take it or shake it.
Take it. All I can do is go off what Teddy say. I didn't play in New England other than as an opponent. Teddy's been in that organization. He understands the organization. I know Bill Belichick. I understand how Bill Belichick teaches. So it's look, I don't think he's questioning his ability as a tough football player. I think he's just saying from a mental standpoint, you're going to be coached up.
Hard.
You're going to be cut. Man, I was in the 2-minute defense at the end of the games when I was with Belichick and the New York Jets. We used to meet for 5 damn plays, 2 hours to look at 5 plays. That's how detailed he was. That was like brain surgery dealing with that. But he was right. I got picks listening to him.
Bill usually right.
I just don't know, like, you know, the word tough, right? Like, it's – look, man, it's difficult. I think maybe scheme-wise with Sean McVay, I think L.A. is just a different lifestyle. I don't know if I want to say that Matthew Stafford isn't tough enough. Maybe he just doesn't want to deal with that. I don't know if I would say that as tough, though. You know what I mean?
I agree. It's kind of a nebulous term. Like, how do you define it? The one thing I would say to back up Teddy is he said – Matt Stafford isn't tough enough to play in Detroit in New England, because you have to look at it and say, you have to realize how tough Tom Brady was to do it.
Yeah.
It's not like Matt isn't the toughest guy in the world, but just Tom is so super tough mentally,
man,
that the drop-off is just ridiculous.
It's stressful. I mean, you don't deal with pets, but you understand dog years.
Yes.
Working for Bill Parcells and dealing with Bill and playing for Bill, your career feels like dog years because it's just – and that's okay. It gets the most out of you. That's just how they are. That's why they're so successful. Sean Payton, Bill Belichick, Bill Parcells. It's like being, you know, literally. It, 1 year equals like 5 years, you know?
Yeah, it's a great point. And obviously Bill learned from Bill. That would be Belichick learning from Parcells. Last one. Key, just fill us in on this. We got less than a minute to go, and let's fire it in. Dexter Jackson, Super Bowl 37 MVP, should have actually gone to Disney World instead of Brad Johnson. Take it or shake it.
Take it. I don't know what happened there. I don't know if he had to get home to his family or he wasn't a Disneyland guy. I don't know what happened. Maybe he didn't like Mickey or something. Who knows? He certainly didn't go, though. I do know that.
Man, Zubin, all I know is when I was about 4 or 5 years old, I got kicked out of Disney World because my dad pushed Mickey Mouse down.
You got kicked out because of what?
My dad push Mickey Mouse down.
How about that?
Oh, I thought you got kicked out because you tried to sneak in the line or something and you didn't meet the requirements.
Too small for the ride.
Stop.
I just said requirements. I didn't say height.
And now he works for the mouse. Take it or shake it was brought to you by Granger.